Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You write to your phone calls. David, he's listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. First and foremost, hey, thank you so much for your hard labor and love for what you've been doing.
Well, it's my privilege. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hank, been listening to you for years and years and years, and you've encouraged me to study, and I want to give you all the thank yous that you deserve. But, and I should know the answer to this, but I really haven't researched it. In the world of eschatology, the dispensational view, I hear over and over again how they claim that the establishment of Israel as a nation today is a prophetic fulfillment of Scripture, and I can't figure out how they're finding that.
Well, I can't either. In fact, the thing about this that's important to recognize is that the disciples actually had the same misconceptions, at least in principle. They had been under the expectation that Jesus was going to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire. In fact, that notion was so ingrained in their psyches that even as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, they were still asking, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? What does Jesus do? He doesn't say yes. He corrects the erroneous thinking and then expands their horizons from a tiny strip of land that's on the east coast of the Mediterranean to the far reaches of the earth. Remember when he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you? He was about to be taken up into heaven when he said that. He says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. In effect, what Jesus was doing is leaving his disciples with instructions to exit Jerusalem, to embrace the earth, and then never again entertain the thought of establishing an earthly Jerusalem. In fact, the disciples were no longer permitted to view Israel in exclusivistic or parochial categories. Their sights instead were elevated to an inclusive Israel. I mean, I think all of us are familiar with the book of Romans where Paul says, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they Abraham's children. True Israel consists of people from every tribe, as the Bible puts it, from every language, from every people, and from every nation. And so the notion that somehow or other we need a Jewish theocracy in the 21st century simply is Zionist pining. Now, certainly you can defend the international right of Israel to have a democracy in the Middle East for geopolitical reasons, but this is not a fulfillment of prophecy.
Amen. Well, I appreciate it. I obviously should know that from reading Matthew 24 and Romans 8 and 9 and all that, in Galatians as well. I do appreciate the answer. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. And, you know, what's really funny about all of this is that the red letter day of 1948 has really lost its luster, and people are now talking about not 1948 because it doesn't work in their prophetic scheme all that well, so they're emphasizing instead 1967. And then they're even having to change the time of a generation from 40 to different numbers. Jack Van Impe now is saying something like 51.2 years, and that took him up to 2014, I think, and now he's probably having to come up with another story. Haven't heard what the latest story is, but the fact is that what they are doing is simply making these things up out of whole cloth. This has nothing to do with fulfilled prophecy. In Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Greek. It's not a matter of ethnicity. It has to do with being found in Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to RC, listening in Phoenix, Arizona, Sirius XM 131. Hi, RC.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was had a conversation with a fellow employee, and he was saying that we need to follow the calendar that has the Jewish feasts on it, because he believes that the Gregorian calendar was set up by people who are trying to knock off Christianity or usurp the worship that is due to the Holy the Father and Jesus.
Well, I think that's nonsense. I would say that what's important is to recognize the history of the Jewish feast, but recognize that they have a fulfillment. That fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. So we no longer take the Passover meal. We take the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover Supper, and ultimately Jesus points forward through the Eucharist and his real presence in the Eucharist to the eternal banquet table in the kingdom that is to come.
So what you're saying is the days of worship that we fall, like we worship on Sundays, our prayers aren't usurped because we're not giving up worship on the days that were dedicated by basically the holy calendar.
Oh, no, of course not. In fact, remember that we have our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. He liberates us from bondage to sin. He is the fulfillment, ultimately, of our Sabbath rest. And therefore, the most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. The reason that we worship and gather together on the first day of the week and partake in word and sacrament is because Jesus has come, he has risen from the dead, and as surely as he rose, so too we will rise.
Hi, thank you for answering my question.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. So we'll talk to Lewis next, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lewis.
Yes, Hank, my question is about Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. How is it that those that God never knew, how is it that they're able to cast out demons and perform miracles in his name?
Well, they are saying things which do not correspond to reality. You can do things through the power of the Spirit, but you can only parody those things through the power of the evil one. And so you have people saying, Lord, Lord, when they don't really believe in the Lord. And so Jesus is saying very clearly that not everyone who makes that statement is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many are going to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Well, first of all, no, they didn't prophesy in his name. They did not drive out demons in his name. They did not perform many miracles, because apart from the name of Jesus Christ, you can pretend or parody, but you can't do the real thing.
So they will only say that they did, but it will not be true.
No, and in fact, what is interesting about this is you can have someone, even for vainglory, sharing the gospel, someone can come to faith in Christ. That in itself is a miracle, but only God can do the miraculous. Satan can parody again, but cannot do what the Lamb can do.
As a correlating scripture where Jesus says that many will perform great wonders. I don't know if it's any or if it's the Antichrist will perform great wonders. Is that a good scripture to correlate to that?
Well, yes and no. I think it makes the very point. There are some who will say that the Antichrist is a 21st century character, and that 21st century character dies on a Friday, rises from the dead on the first day of the week, has the power over earth and sky. And so he does precisely what Jesus Christ does. He rises from the dead, he can control the elements, but this is a false notion. This is not something that corresponds to reality. If, in fact, the Antichrist can do what Christ did, why not worship him? Of course he cannot do what Christ did. He can only parody what Christ did. And those that say otherwise are simply distorting the scripture to their own destruction. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 explains the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ, life in the Trinity. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. And even now, we are called to experience life that is life to the full. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you'll receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And we do need many of you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can do so on an ongoing basis, it would be deeply appreciated. But if you can make a one-time gift, be appreciated as well. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also available to you when you dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Kansas. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of confused on the, like the rapture. And is the rapture still going to be like the 7-year period when the church is taken out?
Well, you know, I've answered this question many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Sometimes I feel that people aren't connecting the dots, so let me do a little bit more of a deep dive here. The pre-tribulational rapture idea is a theory in the church today that during a secret coming in the not-too-distant future, 21st century followers of Jesus are going to be miraculously transported to heaven. And then during the same period of time, 21st century Jews are going to experience a 7-year tribulation of mythic proportions due to the murder of the Messiah by their ancestors. So in short order, 2/3 of these Jews are going to be reduced to bloody corpses. And you find this kind of theory being popularized in series like the Left Behind series by Dr. Tim LaHaye. He uses the moniker, The Day of Israel's Calamity, to codify what he describes as, and these are his words, Antichrist's final solution to the Jewish problem. According to people like LaHaye, the mind-boggling terror, the turmoil of the tribulation will be a nightmarish reality far exceeding even the Holocaust of Adolf Hitler in the 20th century. And then concurrent with this carnage, they say there'll be a soul harvest, which will emerge due to the proselytizing prowess of 144,000 Jewish virgins. And then 7 years after the secret coming, there'll be a second coming during which Christians will return to earth with Christ for a 1,000-year semi-golden age, replete with a rebuilt temple, reinstituted temple sacrifices. And for millions, this idea is the new norm of biblical eschatology. The point that I've made on the broadcast over and over again is that the notion of a secret coming of Christ was unheard of prior to the 19th century. Now, the fact that it's new doesn't in and of itself say it's not true, but it should cause us to look very carefully at this kind of concoction to see if there's any biblical warrant for it at all. And what I would say is, from a biblical perspective, there is not a single passage in the whole of Scripture that speaks of Christ coming secretly. Search as you may, you're not going to find a biblical text for a future seven-year tribulation during which the vast majority of Jews are going to die. You'll find pretexts, but you won't find texts that indicate this. In fact, a future seven-year tribulation is conspicuous by its absence in the whole of Scripture. That doesn't mean that there weren't previous tribulations. Jesus obviously talks about those in talking about the abomination of desolation under the Old Testament Antichrist Antiochus, to prophesy one that would take place when Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed. But there's nothing whatsoever that warrants taking those tribulations and driving them into the 21st century.
Isn't there a point in Revelation where the church is no longer mentioned? And we could assume then that the church was raptured out.
Yeah, that's an argument that is defeated at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. The reason being is Revelation is not about what's going to happen in the 21st century. John is writing letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And he's telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So this is about what happens in a first century epic, not what's happening in the 21st century. There's no warrant whatsoever to take the words of Jesus Christ soon and near and suggest that he is somehow or other linguistically challenged, and that means a far time away, or 20 centuries hence. That is an unconscionable abuse of language.
Okay, Hank, that pretty well tells me what I need to hear.
You got
Thanks
it.
A lot.
Well, I appreciate you listening. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Angela next. She's listening in West Virginia. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Hank. I wanted to say thank you for your ministry.
You're welcome.
You're doing a wonderful job. My question today is, it may sound a little silly, a friend of mine had said that marriage had originated with pagans. I didn't know how to respond to her about that. I thought the first marriage was Adam and Eve, and that was God. He was the originator of it.
I mean, what's beautiful is what you just communicated in the prologue to your question. Because marriage has its roots in Genesis and bears ultimate fruit in Revelation, so marriage is something that encompasses the entirety of Scripture. Human history rooted, as you point out, in the union of Adam and Eve and yielding its fruit in the wedding supper of the Lamb. Jesus based his doctrine of marriage on a historical Adam and Eve. So marriage is fantastic because it not only is an institution which grounds all of civilization for a number of reasons. From an anthropological perspective, it is because the children that are produced within the context of a marriage have gender-differentiated parenting that helps them greatly as they come to maturity as people. From a biological perspective, of course, we know that it takes a man and a woman to produce a child. Every other organ is self-sufficient within the human body, except when it comes to this act of reproduction. It takes a man and a woman all the time, every time, 100% of the time. And then you have the civil aspect of marriage that is so important. Once you start tampering with marriage as defined by Jesus Christ, Pandora's box is open, because then by the reasoning that is used, you can allow polyamory, you can allow polyandry, polygamy, you can even start to argue for pedophilia, because there's no reason that there's a magic age. You can't say that someone's underage marrying someone that is an adult, because the age becomes arbitrary as well. So what's important is that we do not divorce ourselves from the biblical notion established at the very beginning and ultimately consummated, as I said, in the wedding supper of the Lamb. So marriage is parabolic. Christ and the church. And as we, in our union, express commitment, it is a message to the world. Not only psychophysical pleasure that is part of it, producing children as a result of marriage, but also, again, the message to the world, we love as husbands our wives as Christ loved the church, and the wife is in love with the husband in the same way and gives herself for her husband. So there is mutual submission that the Bible talks about that makes a marriage beautiful and a statement to the world.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Hank. Appreciate you.
You got it. And with that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Thank you so much for standing with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. Your prayers, your support, deeply, deeply appreciated, and again, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.